see, we will definitely get the camera out. It is pretty dark in here.
Happy. We did see some pretty cool low cabin light photos come from you all yesterday, so we'll still give it a try.
Absolutely. One of the neat things that I'm seeing right now is in the sort of largest Mare field, the one that sort of makes up most of the very western side of what you can see on the near side. There is a giant, it's much more obvious now that one of those Mares is a huge basin because it's just right now, it's kind of at the 1 o'clock position. And I don't know the name of that big one. It's basically just west of where Sirius and Tranquillitatis are. But it is phenomenal. And the moon we are looking at is not the moon you see from Earth whatsoever.
Christina, we copy all.
And Victor is absolutely mesmerized by Oriental through the 400 lens. He says that not only in Oriental, but all around the basin, you can actually see the terrain. It's not an albedo change. It's not shadows. You can actually just tell that they are terrain features of the multi-ringed crater there.
Christina, we copied all of Victor's Oriental observations. That sounds amazing. And we think, based on your description of the basin that you saw, that is Imbrium.
Yes, that sounds right. I've never noticed that Imbrium has such a distinctive high albedo ring defining it. Also worth mentioning, we do apparently have a full moon. We can't detect any terminator at all. It looks like full limb all the way around.
We copy, and thanks for sharing some cabin video. And unfortunately, in this opportunistic imaging pass, we've got just about 2 minutes before we'll maneuver back to get set up for the event.
And Jackie, we got Jeremy on there just for a minute before his PAO event. He's just got to look at this. As soon as I put my hands on the 400, it's just, you know, I'm not one for hyperbole, but it's the only thing I could come up with. Just seeing Tycho, there's mountains to the north. You can see Copernicus, Rainier Gamma. It's just everything from the training, but in three-dimension and absolutely unbelievable. This is incredible.
Kathy Moonjoy.
And Houston, I can tell you that Christina now has the 400 millimeter, and she also is the queen of hyperbole. It's incredible.
Wow.
Kathy, Christina doing her best read impression at the window.
And Houston, we want to have a good scene check, but can we just make sure that we're streaming the HDMI and okay, the sound check from you guys?
Yeah, it looks like a Halloween movie right now, kind of greenish, but I think it's a pretty good view. Maybe a top is a little higher up the docking tunnel than we've seen in the past.
Jackie, if you're clear on the PAO setup, a couple more observations.
We are maneuvering. There's a little bit of in and out calm, but we'll take your observations.
Did you hear Jeremy's transmission prior to what I asked?
Integrity Houston, we had some in and out calm as we maneuvered. We did hear the last microphone check from Jeremy, and Christina, we would take some observations when you have a minute.
I just wanted to make one kind of correction to what I mentioned before. I do think that we have a Terminator. It is on the far western edge. It's not actually a limb. On the Terminator all along. It's basically almost in the same places where you would imagine the limb to be. But it's a very high albedo, as you would expect from the far side. And you can see the topography all along the Terminator. It's awesome.
Copy.
Houston Integrity for one more observation and a question.
Before we take your observation, Christina, I want to comment that the camera that just got stowed is taking half of our view here in the scene. And we would like one more scene and voice check together when Jeremy has a chance. And we'll take your observation.
I missed your very last, but other than that, copied all.
Sorry, just saying that we would take those observations when it's a good moment.
I just wanted to mention great call from the science team on sticking with the D5 for our observations, the real science observations during the flyby, because I can confirm that the Z9 imagery, even through the viewfinder, you know, because it's digital, was very different. It was much higher contrast than the naked eye view through the D5 viewfinder.
That is really useful feedback. Thank you.
Sure thing. And I'll also mention that the Z9 could be a tool for locating targets because of its higher contrast. It's actually a little easier to see some things, but then obviously keeping going back to the D5 for observations could be a good technique.
We copy.
Over to Jeremy.
Jeremy, for the scene, we are seeing a lot of the docking tunnel. We recommend tilting the camera down a bit.
Copy. Christina just floated back there to frame it for us. So go ahead and be directive. She's running it right now.
Yeah, we see it. That actually looks pretty good. Yeah, right there. I don't know that I can do the play-by-play with the delay, but do we trust Christina?
Okay, Jackie, it's set in position, so you can do the final feed check.
Scene looks great, and we would take another 10 count on the mic if you have it handy. Yeah, you can pause. It's all good. All right, Integrity, we'll be ready for an on-time start in about 8.5 minutes.
Houston Integrity for altitude reference change moment.
Go ahead.
Jackie, with that incredible viewing behind us of our destination in the near term, we hereby change our DU-PFD altitude reference from Earth to Moon. We are currently 76,362 nautical miles from the Moon. And from Earth, we had been 168,000 nautical miles.
Ethan copies. Integrity Houston, your AIU is trying to steal the show here.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Integrity, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
It's Integrity. We're looking forward to speaking with some youth today.
Canadian Space Agency, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call Integrity for a voice check.
We have you loud and clear, CSA. You just have to help me out with that question. Was that about CPR training? Is that what I caught? Yeah, it's a great question because we're all alone up here, just the four of us, and if we ever had to do it, we definitely want to plan. And so we talked about it on Earth before we came here, and one of our tests this week was actually to try those techniques out. And we have about three different spots in the capsule where we can do it. There's probably one that I can show you in the camera view if I just slide read over here. And so what I need to do is support myself and have him against something. So if I put my back here, and Reed here, I can push on him. So this is one of our CPR objectives in space. This is actually not the best one, but it's the only one you can see in camera. Yeah, I was actually just talking to my crewmates about that today. I've definitely seen stars in outer space, and I was saying I haven't seen as many as I thought I would. So, Reed?
We have so much illumination from the sun on the moon and the Earth right now, it is hard at times to see stars. Just like when you walk out in the daytime, you see a blue sky but no stars. We look outside and we see the black space and no stars. But tonight we're going to be pointed into deep space, and we're going to turn out all the lights in the spacecraft for the first time on the mission. And if you give yourself about 20 or 30 minutes, you do this all the time on the International Space Station. Christina and I just have great fond memories of this. You'll start to see the stars, and if you give it enough time, you will see so many stars, it's hard to see the constellations because there are so many stars out there. And the coolest part of those stars is they do not twinkle at all. They are just perfect. They almost look just perfect pinpricks of light. So that is our homework for tonight, Jeremy. We are doing that.
We'll take a picture. Yeah, so I've only been eating space food for a couple of days here, but Christina, she lived in space for pretty close to a year. She's eaten a lot of space food, and so we have a few items here to show you. Christina, you want to help me out?
Sure. Let's see what we're going to pull out. So,
my dinner.
This is Jeremy's dinner, and in space you really just eat all of your food out of bags of some kind, plastic bags or little metallic bags, because we have to rehydrate a lot of our food. This is actually shrimp cocktail. And this has been rehydrated already, so we added water to it, and the shrimp soaked back up the water, and it's actually pretty tasty. This is an example of a food that has not been rehydrated yet. It got all dried out for flying up here in space, and those are green beans. So we do have to eat our vegetables even in space, but don't worry, they do give us mac and cheese.
And before I answer that question, I got to go back one. Here's the maple syrup that we opened up and had at lunchtime today. So we had a little bit of Canada on board today, and I shared it with my crewmates, and I think they enjoyed that. So it was great. Pour la question, en fait, oui, on voit des croissants de la Terre. C'est quelque chose incroyable pour moi. Par exemple, la journée avant le TLE, le Translunar Injection, quand nous sommes réveillés, on a vu une demi-terre, et ça c'était la première fois que j'ai vu quelque chose de magnifique comme ça. Et pendant cette journée-là, on a vu la Terre au complet, et on a vu la Terre noire. Alors, ça c'était une perspective vraiment unique. And the question was, do we see a crescent Earth just like we see a crescent moon when we're in space? And the reality is we do, and we've seen it all. We've seen a half Earth, partial crescent Earth. We've seen a dark Earth. And when we woke up for TLI, we saw just it looked like a bowl of Earth just sitting there for breakfast in the sky. It was really, really unique.
Absolutely. We have done some incredible geology training on Earth, and one of them, as you mentioned, was in Canada at Kaimiskasten Crater. And I got the honor of training there with Jeremy and Jenny Gibbons and a great team of geologists, scientists from NASA and many institutions. We did learn a lot about how craters form and a lot about the mineral that makes up the moon. What we are probably most excited as a crew about seeing on the moon would be an amazing feature called Oriental. And it is sometimes known as the Grand Canyon of the Moon because it has all kinds of multi-layered crater rims and a lot of different land formations, and it has mare, like kind of lava fields all throughout it in different shapes, and it's very distinctive, and no human eyes previously had seen this crater until today, really, when we were privileged enough to see it. So we can't wait to share more when we get closer to the moon.
Well, there are many great space movies. For our specific example here, one that really captures it, I think, is Apollo 13. Now, we haven't had any major malfunctions like Apollo 13 did, but they ended up on a very similar trajectory to us. And that movie really shows you a lot what it's like with just three humans trapped in a tiny capsule and surviving in space together. That's just one of many, but it's one of my favorite space movies. You have a space movie?
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Of course,
in life you do things as a team, and my primary team is my wife and my three kids, and they have been extraordinary in supporting me through this endeavor. Some of the ways that they've helped me is just by giving me grace. Sometimes with this job I can't be there for them when they would like me to be there. There's a lot of sacrifice in the family, and so they've definitely done that for me. And they've been my greatest cheerleaders along the way. So super grateful for Catherine, Devin, Ashley, and Caitlin. And did they get time off school? Well, yes and no. So they had time to come to quarantine and be with me to support me in the launch. But what it meant was they were doing a lot of homework, doing a lot of self-study, and they were still getting it done. They were just getting it done from quarantine. Well, my three crewmates lived on board the International Space Station for a significant amount of time, and so they've done a lot of playing with water, and so they were giving me a tutorial today at lunch. So maybe I'll just get Reed to give you the tutorial that he gave me right now. Well, here you can see the spherical balls that I just let loose in the cabin. All right, Reed. There's another one going over there, but it's really the
spherical balls.
A little drop of water on your finger, even though it looks like a convex little drop on your finger in space, that surface tension is all around, so it just creates a perfect bubble because there's no gravity to act on it. And so it just stays in this perfect sphere, and it actually becomes a lens. And earlier today, we were laughing because we could make Jeremy's face go upside down or right side up, and it's pretty amazing. It's fun to play with water in space.
Victor's sending us a towel to clean up the mess.
I'll answer while Jeremy's making a nice water bubble for you. How did Jeremy get to be on the Artemis II mission? Jeremy and I were selected as astronauts together back in 2009, and he was a member, obviously, of the Canadian Space Agency, and I was a member of NASA.
And when Jeremy interviewed to be an astronaut, our chief astronaut, Peggy Whitson, was on their board. And Peggy came back from that interview and said, if Canada doesn't hire Jeremy, no one will hire Jeremy. He did that well. So I think if you go through Jeremy's life, he grew up just a very inquisitive kid. He had huge dreams. He saw a picture of Neil Armstrong in an encyclopedia a long time ago walking on the moon, and it just sparked his curiosity and his imagination. And he always tells people that the most important thing when you have a dream and an aspiration is that you tell people, you talk about that. Some people may not believe you can do it, but you know you can do it. And the more you talk about it, the more people will begin to believe that you can make your dreams come true. And that is exactly what Jeremy did. He turned his tree fort into a spaceship, and he became a fighter pilot in the Royal Canadian Air Force. And then he got to the Canadian Space Agency in 2009, and the rest is history.
And I'm still not that good at water and space yet. I'm still learning, but I'll keep practicing. Alors, les jeunes peuvent jouer un rôle vraiment important. En fait, c'est nécessaire que la prochaine génération contribue à notre avenir. Par exemple, c'est important de juste suivre vos passions quand il y a quelque chose qui vous intéresse. Apprendre tout ce que c'est possible et aussi partager cette rêve, cet objectif pour vous avec des autres et former une équipe. Et vous pouvez faire des choses importantes pour les humains. Aussi avec l'espace, maintenant, il y a plein des moyens à contribuer à notre civilisation. Par exemple, on peut utiliser l'espace. Quand on trouve une solution qui utilise l'espace, souvent, ce n'est pas une solution locale, c'est une solution globale. Alors, quand on utilise l'espace, on peut aider le Canada, bien sûr, mais aussi les autres pays, n'importe où au monde. The question was, how can young people contribute to Canada's or the world's space future? And the reality is there's just so many ways that you can use space. And often in space, when you find a solution, it isn't a regional solution. It is a global solution that can be shared around the world. En fait, pour nous, on est la formation pour les astronautes et de réparer plein des choses dans les capsules, bien sûr, mais la plupart du temps, la formation, c'est piloter et opérer le vaisseau. Mais si on a des problèmes ici dans la capsule, on a une grande équipe sur la Terre qui peut nous aider pour réparer des choses. Alors, si quelque chose ne fonctionne pas, souvent, on demande à Mission Control à Houston pour nous aider à comment le réparer. Alors, on a des experts sur la Terre. Our question was, are astronauts trained to fix everything on the capsule? And the answer is, we're trained to fix a lot of things, but a lot of our training is about piloting and managing the systems on the capsule. There's a lot of things that if they break, we call Houston, Mission Control in Houston, and they walk us through how to repair it. So as far as I can tell, the question was, you know, what happens to our organs in space? As far as I can tell, nothing. It feels very much like my body is operating pretty much exactly it did on Earth. The one thing that I noticed is, you know, there is a blood shift. And if you knew me before I got to space, I'm sure my face is a lot puffier now. It's because there's a lot more blood up in my upper regions of my body because gravity is not constantly pulling it down. And I can just sort of feel it in my head. It's like, just something different. I can tell it's just slightly different. It's not bad, but it's just slightly different. But other than that, for me, not a lot of changes. But let's talk to the expert over here. She knows a lot about this.
Well, I did just think of two organs that I know of specifically that have very well-documented effects in microgravity or adaptations. They're actually ways that your organs change usually to adapt to the environment. And one of them is with your heart. Your heart actually changes its stroke volume because even though we exercise almost every day, the rest of the time your heart does not have to work as hard to pump that blood up to your brain. And it adapts to that and its muscles actually change. And when you get back from a long-duration space flight, you have to work really hard to get your cardiovascular system going. One other organ that is affected is your kidneys, because the kidneys and some of the parts in them actually rely on a gravity vector to work correctly. And they've found through science investigations on board the space station and things like tissue chips and organ chips, the kidneys are highly affected, and astronauts have to look out for kidney disease. So it sounds like you're kind of interested in medicine. Thought I'd mention those too.
Thank you. Just really great to spend some time with my fellow Canadians from way out here. We're, if I do some quick math in my head, we're around 300,000 kilometers from home right now. It's an extraordinary journey. And sharing this journey with Canadians is incredibly meaningful for me, and it's so important that this generation and the next generation see themselves represented in this mission, as these four humans and our incredible team from around the world head out on this journey around the moon. And just remember, Canada's future in space is bright because of all of you. Wishing you all the best. Thanks for joining us here on Integrity. Have a great one.
Thank you to all participants. Integrity, we are now resuming operational audio comm. Integrity Houston, a few items to sync up on before you get into PMC and evening activities. Let us know when you're ready.
You're ready, Jackie.
All right, a couple of questions about today's timeline, and then some forward plans for the toilet and wastewater dumps. I guess we'll bookend with toilets. So first of all, we thought perhaps you had not prioritized toilet maintenance due to your earlier constraints, and so if you had not gotten to the toilet maintenance block, we do need it before you go to sleep tonight due to ozone constraints. I'll copy.
That is complete.
Excellent. Also, we wanted to, we knew that maybe we stepped on some of the flexible HRP activities today, and wanted to let you know that at least the HRP standard measures we're looking for today, since it's asking about your first 3 days in flight.
Victor is going to knock that out soon. It was a flexible activity. He has not finished it yet. The other three are complete.
That absolutely works for us. Thank you. And then a couple of questions from science. We wanted to follow up and ask if you were able to complete your FPP reviews today, if you had any questions on those. And then looking for confirmation that you have or you plan to transfer the images you took during today's observations so that we can downlink them tonight.
Connected to CMN Network.
In work right now. I believe we all were able to complete our studying. One question I had was just understanding the different uploads and whatnot. Do I understand correctly that overnight tonight, the actual final plan that we will be executing will be uploaded into our LTP? Is that right?
Christina, yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. With that, no other questions about our LTP review. The materials were great, and it went well.
All right, one final topic for you, and we're looking for some feedback. Big picture for the toilet wastewater vent lines, we would like to try providing warm contents to the wastewater vent lines, ideally through a series of crew donations and then immediately followed by a dump. So we are wondering if you think that is something you could support this evening, and if you were to suggest a time, we would like to know what it is.
Jackie, Jackie, are you looking for how the max number of donations or a minimum number? What would the minimum number be?
Christina, we don't necessarily have a minimum number, but we'd like to get as many as possible back-to-back uses.
We're looking for a good time, but yeah, I think we should all be able to cycle through there for you. I'm sure you've considered this, but there is also the option of PWD water heated in the food warmer, which will be very, very hot.
Yeah, Christina, teams down here had similar thoughts, but that system is designed for a particular type of fluid, and we want to stick with that chemistry.
This does make sense. How about right after the flight director conference in that time frame?
That is perfect, and we will just take a call when you are all complete and ready for the event.
Copy that. We'll give you a call.
Sounds great. That is it from us prior to PMC.
One status item, docking camera activity on Reed's timeline is complete.
We copy.
We are going to Orion Earth 2 for the conference, if that works for you.
It does work for us.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
Christina and Jeremy. This is Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke. John Young and I landed on the moon in 1972 in the lunar module we named Orion. I'm glad to see a different kind of Orion helping return humans to the moon as America charts the course to the lunar surface. Below you on the moon is a photo of my family. I pray it reminds you that we in America and all of the world are cheering you on. Thanks to you and the whole team on the ground for building on our Apollo legacy with Artemis. Godspeed and safe travels home.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Houston Integrity 4PD1.
Go ahead, Reed. Good morning.
Hey, Mike. You all can... SSPCD1, I did compose quite a large number of emails yesterday, so I've tried a couple different ways, including the mission summary notes, to salvage those, and then I'll just hope that we have some success today. But go ahead and get on PCD1 and let us know when we can have it back.
All right, Reed, we will put in work right now, so we're going to hop on PCD1. It was great working with all of y'all. I'm handing over here to Jam shortly, and this is my last shift here with y'all, so it's been a great pleasure. Y'all are doing awesome, and can't wait to see y'all backstage side.
Thanks, Mike. Absolutely excellent. If you want to do one final contact, we can switch over to any OE that you want. We can do as many as you want. And then one parting word, if you could please contact Frank Rubio and have him tell my kids to start emailing the other crew members here so that I can at least talk to them, that would be a huge, huge help. Thank you.
Hey, Reed, that's a simple thing. I'll make sure it gets done. Have a good one.
Mike, integrity, comp check.
Well, Christine, I got you loud and clear. How about me?
Yeah, buddy, we have you the same. It's been great working with you. Thank you for all the help and support.
For sure. Y'all have been amazing. I've loved every minute of it.
Connected to CMN Network.
Jason, Integrity, if you can give us an early go to be configured on camera, I'll set up the HHP.
Hey, give us a couple minutes. We're going to send a few commands to get that docking camera ready, and we'll come right back here shortly to let you know.
Integrity crew, you are go to shut down the docking cam.
Hey, Jenny, and thanks.
Integrity crew, we are rolling Orion by 20 degrees to improve optical comm.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Houston Integrity, you are welcome. Welcome to come on board.
Copy, Christina. We are on board with you. Thank you.
Houston Integrity, can we start using PCD1 or are they still using it?
Reed, you are go to use PCD1. But we are still updating Outlook, so everything but email is go. And Reed, while I have you, I wanted to let you know that you are not receiving the stream anymore.
me. How's that?
That's super. Thank you.
Go ahead. Yeah, low priority. Can you please tell me a good stow location for the two lens caps? I looked up lens cap in the packing plan and wasn't able to find anything. Thanks for that. Low priority.
Happy, Christina. Ivy is looking at it. Congratulations.
Well deserved. It's an honor to fly with you, Jeremy, and to be here when you get your gold astronaut wings. We wanted to take a minute to commemorate the holiday that we have. This time of year is something that many religions and many cultures hold dear. It's a time of emotions such as joy, as well as solemnness, honoring what's going on both in our world and in our religious beliefs. Another aspect of that is our family traditions. And I know for me, if I was on the earth right now, I would be with my family in Houston, the Monte Rosas, and we would be hiding confetti eggs in the backyard and watching two very sweet little girls go try to find them. So to commemorate that on board, we did hide a few eggs around the cabin. They were the dehydrated scrambled egg variety, but we're all pretty happy with them.
That's wonderful. We'll keep an eye out.
Yes, first I wanted to just say happy birthday to my father, Mr. Glover Sr., and happy Easter to everyone down there on Earth. And I will pass it off to Jeremy.
Thanks, Victor. Happy Easter, everyone. We're talking up here as a crew, and we did want to send a special Easter message on this day. And, you know, no matter your faith or religion, for me, the teachings of Jesus were always a very simple truth of love, universal love, love yourself and love others. And something for us being up here and looking back at all of you through one tiny window is that just resonates 100% true. And our goal as humanity should be to just follow in that example. There were many examples in the past, but that's one example of love that we can just all follow in those footsteps, and it'll serve us well.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
And with that, Houston, we are eager and ready to start our exciting day of suit-offs with you all. And we don't have any specific comments yet, but ready to hear what you've got for us.
Thank you, Integrity. A lot of gratitude for that message down here, and it's wonderful to see Jeremy get that pin. So thank you for sharing with us. Today is a big day. We're all tracking that down here, as I'm sure you are up there. Today, let's take our time. We will remember that slow is smooth and smooth is fast. While you are suited, we plan to have you voxed unless you request otherwise, and we will be silencing caution and warning from the ground. I have a few procedure deltas for you when you are ready. Happy thumbs up. Today, during your suit up, we would ask that you cap the gas trap after all four crew members are connected to cooling. Reed, there is a delta in your controlled depress to 10-2 init and term activities. Those are coming later today, so when it does come to it, you will be skipping the instruction to update the PPO2 max set point for flammability reasons. We'll remind you with the instruction number when we get to those activities. Happy thumbs up. We also expect that you will open visors 3 times today. When you do, for every one of those openings, you will use the instructions that you have in your daily summary, the first point, and that will override EPROC and vent overboard. Again, we will remind you as needed. Today, I want to give you a refresher on your bold face for loss of seat ventilation while visors are down. Today, we are running on scrubber ARS and 1. Call me back if you want to run through that memorized response. Otherwise, I'll take your thumbs up.
And we just went through a quick brief up here. We think we're good. Thank you.
Happy. We also will have a summary from our administrator's interview and comments. Those will be uplinked to you in a crew message. The goal is to have that available for you after the DFCO. Around that point, before your midday meal, we're also planning another sync. We have a couple of other items for you, but we'll pass them after the DFCO. They're for the remainder of the day. Finally, you can stow the lens caps for Sina in F1 large AGA general use brown label.
F1 Brown, thank you.
Copy. That's all we have for you. We are ready to support you, and I'll take any questions or comments you have for me.
Okay, just 2 things on Avatar today for Huntsville. All lights except 15 and 16 were illuminated. Jenny, one question on the app for the gas trap. You said to cap it after 4, is that also after the 5 minutes have passed, after the 4th crew member has connected?
Good words, Christina, after the 4th crew member and 5 minutes have passed since that connection.
Copy all.
And Christina Huntsville copies the Avatar call. Thank you.
Great. Good Artemis morning, Huntsville. And Jenny, a blanket statement for today. If you need adjustments to the view, please just ask real time as soon as you need them, even if it goes away. Unless we've told you that we are turning it off, we intend to be streaming with a good view for y'all.
Abby, thanks for letting us know.
Houston Integrity for docking camp.
Go ahead.
Is it okay with you if we keep the docking cam on the docking hatch window for today, at least for the morning?
Yep, that should be fine. Thanks, Christina.
Houston Integrity for an undergarment reminder.
Go ahead.
Hey, James, remind remind us, these are entry undergarments, but we do have an additional bag on top of the one we will wear today. Is that correct?
Confirm.
Integrity, ACA readings when ready.
Ready.
Morning, Jenny. You have a CO2, 2.6, O2, 20.7. Yes, temperature is 13.9 PSI. Temperature 74.4.
Sounds great. Thanks, Victor.
Houston Integrity for NatGeo 360 camera question.
Go.
Jeremy's our expert on this, and he's unavailable at the moment. We have a little red box in the lower left corner of the display with a white X in it. Any idea what that means? And that's on the 360, the GoPro Max 360.
Checking. Integrity Houston for NatGeo 360 camera question. I read we don't have the answer yet, but we recommend trying a power cycle. I see also your SME is back in the cabin, so if he can help, we're open to his suggestions too.
All other indications are good. I think we're good. We're going to press. It is recording, and the red light is blinking. Time is counting, and it's in time lapse mode, so I think it is looking good.
Sounds good to us. Thank you.
Houston Integrity for GoPro Max.
Go ahead.
Connected to CMN Network. Figure it out. The battery was not fully seated. It was running off of power, so it was fine. But just for future reference, that's what that symbol means.
Nice. Thanks for letting us know. Integrity Houston for snack fill for Reed. I'll take a thumbs up if you're ready to listen.
Jenny, go ahead for snack.
Hey, Reed, today you're going to be completing two nutrition snack fills, one after another, during the CFTO. We have some notes that you can also fill some hydration snacks, but those are just for crew comfort, both if you get thirsty and if Christina or Victor need a drink while they're consuming some pills from the pill tool. So we wanted to offer it up that you can fill those hydration snacks before you are in your suit if you want to do it as a get-ahead. If you want to do it later on, that's fine with us too.
So I can do four hydration snacks now and then the regular snacks during the DFTO.
Affirm, we want to make sure the nutrition snacks are during the DFTO. Otherwise, up to you.
Is the frequency in use?
Jenny, can you remind me what the snack water fill time is at this cabin pressure?
Checking. Reed, to fill a hydration snack at this cabin pressure, it's 45 seconds. Copy, thumbs up.
Houston 4, water stacks are filled with a little bit of comedy here, and we're getting ready to settle in for the DMPO.
Houston copies.
Houston Integrity crew comment. The D&E locker doors are much easier to get in and out of than we experienced in the mock-up, probably because of zero-G and all that. So just a comment there. In fact, when we first got up here, we were actually saying we might just keep them on. We have elected so far this mission to not install the nets over D&E because we are in and out of there so much, and we were able to use the CTBs themselves for foot restraints.
Thank you.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Jim's data point is that E1, E2 doors are all identically labeled, but, well, I guess they're not, but the D1s have to go, D1 and E1 have to go by under the seats, and D2 and E2 have to go down to the bottoms, and I think we goofed that up to start.
Oof, yeah. The IVA console's telling us about that little slot that needs to be facing Nader. Sounds like you guys got it. Thanks.
And Integrity, another stowage note for boots. We took a picture, but a great way to stow the boots is behind the foot plate on seats 3 and 4 with the toes facing the seat. When you try to stow them on the clips, they do come off on their own. They just float off eventually. But stowing them behind the seat, toes facing the seat, is a great way to get them stowed efficiently and use space efficiently.
Copy all. Top tip. Thanks, Christina.
Houston Integrity, we would like to request that you all read up the contingency seat settings. We think that would be how we would be doing this if needed.
Copy. We're getting them ready. All right, Integrity, I have your contingency seat settings required. Where do you want to start?
Seat 2 shoulder bolsters first, and then seat 1 shoulder bolsters.
Seat 2 and seat 1 shoulder bolster put pins are in slots 17 and 18 for both.
Jenny, we'll take headrests for seats 1 and 2 next. And question, we may have missed it, but what do we do with the orb mount for the left RATC?
You'll be temp stowing the orb mount. If you want a locker location, we can get one ready for you. And the headrest post position for seats 1 and 2 are both 9.
And Jenny, I may be missing it. Don't have a stow note location for the orb mount, so we will take one from you. Thank you.
F1 large, labeled AGA general use brown.
All right, just a little feedback on the headrest settings. It wasn't clear how to set setting 9, but we like what we're seeing here, and we think that if we were in a real situation, we would press as is. I'll get a picture of the config.
Happy, Christina. We're happy for you to keep going, and thank you for the photos.
Jenny, we are ready for the position to latch the leg assemblies onto the seatbacks for 1 and 2?
Both seats 1 and 2, you're looking for the seat pan position. You will be putting the pit pins in position 3 and 7 for both seats.
And Jenny, we are going to leave the foot pins all the way in for now for suit on.
Copy.
Jenny will take shoulder bolster settings for C-Force.
Christina, for seat 4, the shoulder bolster pit pin locations are the same as the nominal, so they should be Sharpie marked for you, setting 20 and 21.
Kristen, we will take headrest setting for seat 4, please.
Seat 4, headrest setting for contingency is 9, which is the same as the setting that you have nominally. And for this, just a reminder, we're looking for on the seat post, there's a little trapezoid. You want the bottom edge of that trapezoid to align with the numbers on the seat back.
And Jams, for seats 1 and 2, we, based on that call you just made, thank you for the landmarks. We think our seats are currently set to 11. Seat 1 and 2, seat back posts are at 11. And we launched that way. We're going to leave them that way for now.
Copy. And that is the launch setting. We are happy with that if you are.
Hey, Jenny, we've deployed the post, and apologies, wasn't quite ready to, turns out, absorb all those numbers. So the bottom of the trapezoid aligns with which line?
For you, Christina, it will be a setting of 9, and you can find that just on the seat back itself. It should be right beside the post for the headrest. And it's the same as your nominal launch setting. Happy thumbs up.
All right, we're good. Thank you.
Connected to CMN Network.
Jenny, for installing the headrest, we're looking for the right Sharpie mark. Do we understand that the lower part of the headrest mounting bracket should align with a Sharpie mark on the post?
Christina, we think that sounds right, but we might be misinterpreting your words, but we think that sounds correct.
Okay. Yeah, I think we feel comfortable with it, and you did say that both of my settings were launch settings, headrest and post, correct?
Affirm, Christina. They're the same for you.
Hey, Jenny, can you check the WAP and make sure the WAP is still connected? We just had, we crimped the Ethernet cable when we removed the seat 3 seat pan.
Checking. And Reed, we see a nominal connection to the WAP. Everything looks good. Thanks for letting us know anyway.
Integrity for seat restraints.
Go.
Hey, Jenny. We have elected, if you agree, to not use the crotch belt seat restraint tethers because we see that they are floating and we think that they will be easy to retrieve without the tethers.
Copy. That looks really good to us as well. Thanks.
KE8YNU, KE8YNU, this is NAWCB. KE8YNU, KE8YNU, this is NAWCB.
Hey everyone, quick note on how the harness straps are sent up. If you can see, when they were sent up, both of these were all the way flush with this, and it made it pretty hard to start the pull out to be make them be adjustable. It would be great if they're just separated and maybe flown in a config like that.
Copy and noted. Thank you. We see that in the video. Thanks, Christina.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Okay, just to update you, Jenny, we finished all the seat config stuff. We're grabbing out the snacks now and continuing.
Copy, that sounds good, Christina. And just to let you know, we have a pretty big delay on the video, so for things you're trying to show us, we just might call them a bit late.
Houston Integrity for timeline sync.
Go ahead.
James, we are nearing the time of having y'all go off board so that we can get into our suits. Just wanted to check in with you on timing or anything else you've noted that you want to share before we get into that.
Thanks for letting us know, Christina. That syncs with everything that we've been tracking. We just want to update you that we don't believe that we will do any objectives at the lower pressure, so at 3.7 PSIV at your suit delta pressure, looking at adjusting the objectives during the first set as well. So we'll continue to talk about that. And in the meantime, you're good to continue. Integrity Houston, we still have a camera view. We see nothing, but it looks like part of the side of the DU, but wanted to let you know it's still on. Integrity, that is a better view on the camera. We are a little worried about it becoming unstowed, but right now all we see is the plastic bag and the part of the Pelator. So that's good for now. And a reminder, we'd love timing for your suit up.
Houston Integrity, we are bringing you back on board. Let us know if you don't see it. We haven't dawned, but we think that we're okay with you all watching the full dawn from Comfort Garments.
Happy, Christina. That sounds great to us. Thank you. We did see you adjust the camera, but we no longer see video.
That's being worked.
Thank you.
And with that, if you agree, we will allow you all to determine suit donning start and complete time for the rapid and nominal.
Copy. All right, crew, we have video.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Integrity Houston, we're following along on video. A reminder, when you are moving about the cabin, we want the strain relief carabiner attached to your umbilical to your suit, and we would also like Cobra buckles fastened for, at minimum, the two free float leak check crew members. Copy, thumbs up.
Houston, integrity comm check, seat one.
Reed, we have you loud and clear from seat one, homie.
Loud and clear.
Houston, integrity comm check from seat two.
Seat two, we have you loud and clear, homie.
I have you the same.
Houston Integrity, seats 1 and 2, rapid dawn complete.
Copy, rapid dawn complete, seats 1 and 2, thank you. Integrity crew, low priority camera adjustments. We will take a tilt towards seat 3, that is more toward the Equus wall and the lockers if able.
And Houston, we'd like to just get a big picture sync across the crew right now.
Absolutely, go ahead.
Let's just sync up so we know where we are. Ike and I are in seats 1 and 2. We are fully suited. We do not have umbilicals connected. And we are in suit don vehicle config step 5, and we are holding there. And then Christina and Jeremy are suiting up on a nominal suit up right now. We believe that's where they should be. Christina has not begun suiting yet. So I think we need to know from you if you could take the operational lead and start walking us through where these two distinct groups should be, Victor and I and Christina and Jeremy.
Copy, Integrity crew. You are all where we expected you to be. Jeremy and Christina can continue pressing with the nominal suit don, and we will have you and Victor pick up with commanding umbilicals to perform the first leak check with two crew members. And remember, I have a delta for you on the visors open vent pass.
We will always vent overboard today. Stand by. All right, Jenny, I just confirmed that you want Ike and I to run 22.2.101 suit don vehicle config for the first two crew member leak check. We are not running this from the DFTO, and we will vent overboard.
Affirm.
Okay, thank you. Houston, seats 1 and 2, leak check complete.
We see the same.
And Houston just confirmed for me and Victor, the next step is to go back to step 5 and suit on vehicle config and hold for seats 3 and 4.
Houston Reed, once Jeremy and Christina are seated, we will have them join you for the next leak check. Your procedure path is correct.
We copy. Thanks. Jenny, do you need something different on HHP? I think I can reach it from here and try to re-aim it.
Affirm, if you can reach it, we will take a tilt downward toward the lockers, please. Reed, we like that view. Thank you. Integrity crew, I see Jeremy and Christina nearing the end of their suit don. I just want to remind you about the gas trap, which needs to be capped 5 minutes after the last crew member connects to cooling. Please let us know when that's complete.
You got you covered, Jenny. Thanks for the reminder.
Thank you, Reed. Houston, C4, ComCheck.
C4, we have you loud and clear, homie.
I have you the same.
Houston, Integrity, C3, ComCheck.
C3, welcome to the party. We have you loud and clear, homie.
Loud and clear, Jenny. Hey, Houston, we've been on cooling for 5 minutes, so we're going to swap the QD.
Copy, thank you.
Houston Integrity, we have all PCDs stowed, so Jenny, you got the lead.
Copy, all PCDs stowed. Once Jeremy and Christina are complete, we can ensure that the COPA fittings are connected, and then we can move on to leak checks.
Houston, all 4 suits, leak check complete.
Copy, we see the same.
And Jenny, I think now you want us back in the DFT procedure, correct?
Affirm. We have you back in the AUX suit DFTO procedure. You've just performed your leak checks. The next step should be for the LCGQD, which you've already completed, and then you will get into some commanding in the suit DFTO vehicle config.
Yeah, what step in AUX suit DFTO should we be in?
Step 5.7. Moving into 5.8, that's instruction 52 in the AUX suit DFTO.
Okay, we're in 5.7.
Happy, that's a good spot.
All right, Jenny, we are in 5.8. We're going to 22.2.199, steps 1 through 12.
That's the right place to go. Thank you.
And Jenny, before we start pressurizing, I don't know, have any awareness of timeline and then next step. So before we go visors down and pressurize, why don't we get a quick crew sync?
Honey, stand by one. And Integrity crew, we are still talking about what objectives we are going to complete with a shortened timeline. We do want to keep the controlled depress in place because we want to get ranging data in time for OTC3. So we are talking a pared down objective timeline for you. IVA is just getting it together, so we'd like to proceed with the suit DFTO vehicle config, and I'll have words for you soon, but you can all expect a shortened timeline.
Okay, we're getting into 22.2.199.
Copy, I concur. Integrity crew, Houston, we are having some discussions here on the ground and coming up with your forward timeline. We want to make sure you're not waiting for us and you are ready to proceed with visors closed and you are ready.
Yep, affirm. We're just troubleshooting one thing and then we'll be ready.
Happy. Sounds great to us. Thank you.
Houston, we're picking up in instruction 21 now.
We copy.
All right, Jenny, we're in the purge. How's everything looking on your end?
It's looking great. Continue.
Integrity crew, everything is still looking really good down here. We're loving getting this data. I plan to reconfigure you to be Vox before increasing your suit pressure. Let me know if you want to be Vox earlier so you can stop pushing buttons.
We'll continue in this mode for now until the pressure goes up.
Copy. We'll let you know when that's about to happen and when we do a reconfigure to your Vox.
In Houston, our suit belt PE is dropping in the purge here. Is that expected?
Checking. Reed, this is expected. We are in the last 45 seconds of the purge where the pressure will decrease in your suit.
Okay, we're in finish up 3.2 now, moving to step 4.
Copy, we see you there.
And Jenny, in step 4.3, performing the purge to the cabin, confirm you want this short purge, short cabin sequence?
Confirm.
Copy that. That's going in.
Integrity crew, 2 minutes left on the purge.
We're watching. Houston, we're in 4.6. Checking with you prior to proceeding.
Copy. We're talking. And Integrity, we need a minute or two here to talk the forward plan. We expect to just take a couple minutes more, but I'll be back with you shortly. Let's sit tight for now, please.
Sounds good.
All right, Integrity crew, thanks for your patience. We've had a discussion down here, and we have decided to defer the controlled cabin depress to 10-2, which was after the suit DFTO, to later in the mission, so that we can prioritize getting our objectives done while you are suited and pressurized. When you are ready, we plan to take you to Vox before proceeding with the next step. And I want to let you know that when you're uncomfortable commanding, please let us know and we will take over, else we expect to take over by step 10 in this procedure.
Okay, Jenny, sounds great, and we are ready for Vox.
Copy. We will put Vox in work. All right, Integrity crew, you are Vox and go to continue with the procedure. Pick up in step 5.
Comment.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
We're live here in Artemis Mission Control at Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. Now exactly 4 days, 4 minutes, mission elapsed time for Artemis 2. Currently on our main live stream feed on NASA's YouTube, you can watch today's briefing. But if you're here, we're still able to provide some commentary on what the crew is doing in the spacecraft. As previously mentioned, we are in the Orion Crew Survival System DFTO, and this is Demonstration Flight Test Objective. The crew is suited, and they are pressurized in their suits. We're trying to get some tasks completed while they are in their suits today, but it is a learning experience. This is the first time we've had crew suit up inside the Orion spacecraft and in microgravity. Having the suits pressurized and connected to umbilicals makes it more difficult to move about the spacecraft. Pilot Victor Glover and Commander Reed Wiseman are now getting out of their seats, having the pressure reduced a little bit in their suits to hopefully make it a little easier to move in the spacecraft. Wiseman and Glover were instructed to quickly get on their suits or rapidly don them. This helps us prepare for if the crew on this mission or future missions were to experience a depressurization in the spacecraft, they would be able to get into these suits. While both Glover and Wiseman put their suits on quickly, Christina Cook and Jeremy Hansen were instructed to put their suits on at a normal pace. Currently, the crew's audio is only coming here to Mission Control Houston as they continue to step through this suit demonstration. The flight team wants them to be able to speak transparently about what they're feeling and experiencing while maneuvering in these suits.
Connected to CMN Network.
CK7, CK testing.
This is Artemis Mission Control. We are 4 days and 38 minutes into the flight of Orion on the Artemis 2 mission. You're not currently hearing crew communications. Those are limited to mission control personnel. We are stepping out of the aux suit demo, and they wanted the crew to be able to share transparently with the ground what they were working through during that time. At this time, all crew visors are open, and they are stepping through procedures to complete the DFTO, Demonstration Flight Test Objective.
You're connected to CMN Network.
This is Artemis Mission Control at Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. Mission elapsed time for the Artemis 2 flight is 4 days and 58 minutes. This is the Orbit 1 team monitoring all of the systems aboard the Orion spacecraft. Crew aboard the spacecraft is wrapping up the aux suit DFTO, the Orion Crew Survival System Suit Demonstration Test. During this test, the crew got into their suits, and two of them got into their seats. This is the first time the crew has gotten suited while in microgravity, and we also pressurized their suits.
Integrity Houston, we do have big picture words to pass for you, and we see ourselves coming up on a longer LOS here, so please give us a call when it's good to pass those words on to you.
Okay, we're just getting out of suits, so go ahead now. Now's a good time.
Okay, I'm going to roll through this list with you. We have turned off the CamTab 3 because we suspected that you were suit doffing. We also don't have the HHP camera. We wanted to let you know that at our last check, it was still connected to the encoder, but it looked like it had been bumped. So we don't have that picture, and we want you to check it when you are ready, a.k.a. done with your doff. Automatic cabin leak detection is enabled again. And on your timeline, we have canceled your burn conference and taken care of preliminary targeting for OTC-3 burn ups from the ground. We want you to continue your suit off and your closeout of this procedure and look after yourselves, especially around midday meals. We also want you to know that there will be a data transfer activity for Reed in the afternoon. It's called Flywheel Excel Data Transfer. That is deferred for today.
Okay, we got you. And Jenny, we have one question on Jeremy's seat config. Can you give us the foot pan length extension for entry?
We're checking on that. I'll have it for you in a minute. While I have you, I want you to know that soon we will have some calls up to you to perform, likely on the SIP, which will get us back into a good vehicle config after suit doff. I'll be back in a minute with that setting for Jeremy's suit.
Okay, we'll wait on your call for the SIP switches.
Copy, and Jeremy's eye position is 5, and if you're talking about the calf extension, that is fully extended. It should read 6.
All right, Jenny, he's got that seat configured. Thank you.
Finally, one more for you, Reed. If you did not use mags today, we would like you to save the unused mag.
Okay, 3 out of 4 will be saved.
Thank you.
Jenny, I don't know if we lost you yet. Just confirm we are go for secondary upline.
We're still with you, Reed, and we're checking.
And just make sure that we still have crew choice for toilet ops.
Confirm the crew plan is still go for toilet, and we're checking on the secondary line. Integrity crew, you are go to use the secondary line for dumps.
Okay, sounds good, and we'll reconfigure the cut before we do that. Thanks.
Thank you. Integrity crew, Houston. We have a couple of items to discuss with you again before this LOS.
Go ahead.
Hey, Christina, a couple of vehicle things for you to start. First of all, we want you to be aware that we need to increase the fan speed higher because our cabin pressure is lower. We're trying to get that cleaned up this afternoon, but we're not quite there yet. More on that later. We also have a crew procedure that we will need you to execute, and it is the suit doff vehicle config procedure, which is 22.2.102. This is steps 1 through 7 to get the vehicle back in a good config following being suited. We need you to stop the HHP camera feed, please. We do not see it, but we need to stop it for bandwidth reasons. We want to tell Reed that his PCB1 is go for email use. We also can tell you that we have good targets on board for OTC3. It's looking like a 10.1 foot per second burn. And then finally, the flight director will be ready to speak with you for Reed's flight director conference coming up shortly.
Okay, Jenny, copy the fan speed thing, but no action for us on that. Suit off vehicle config, steps 1 through 7. We will stop the HHP camera stream. Reed is go for, actually that's complete. Reed is go for email on his PCD1, and we'll be ready to talk to Jeff. We understand we will be suit drying per the suit off procedure as well. Please confirm.
Affirm. That is a good readback on all, and we agree on the procedure. Thank you, Christina.
Connected to CMN Network.
Integrity crew, we are 1 minute away from around an hour-long forward LOS, no response required.
You're connected to CMN Network.
AF8FTS, monitoring.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
You don't say. W-A-F-U.
Are you all hammed out?
Oh, man. You ain't kidding.
Yeah, I had my ham at brunch. Although, supposedly my mother packed us a to-go baggie with all sorts of goodies, but I haven't looked at it yet. I figured I'd wait till Michelle got home at 11.
At 11? She's not working, is she?
Yeah, she went in at 2. So 2 to 10 or 2 to 11, I forget tonight.
Huh, I didn't think they'd be open. But, yeah, I got my little doggy bag, too, and it was getting late, so I said, you know what, I'm going to get rolling to get home in time to unwind, do a few odds and ends, because that's the only bear with these Sunday holidays is back to work on Monday.
Uh, Her pharmacy's 24/7, so yeah. So they're not closed today. I think they get third holiday pay.
Does he have a specialty one?
Nope. It's a 24/7 pharmacy. They only have from 11 till 6. There's no techs. It's just the pharmacist for emergent prescriptions and things like that. They're supposed to be doing other things in the middle of the night, but usually the tech is pharmacist is too busy with emergent scripts to do any work. Basically, unless there's an emergent script that comes in, they sit on their phone and play, you know, Minesweeper or something all day, or all night, I should say. But yeah, techs are only there from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. And then it's just a pharmacist. But yeah, they're 24 hours.
But that must be a specialty branch. I hit the button to change my power level, and I pulled off frequency for a second right when you were answering. It is, you know, I know there's we have in Detroit, we have a Walgreens specialty. I'm not sure what their hours are, but all the regular ones, they close. You know, they shut right down around, I can't think of any of them around here 24/7. Maybe not. Maybe I haven't been paying attention.
So they're one of, I think there's only, well, this is the only one here in, like, the Flint area. There used to be one down in Milford, because that's, I've gone to that one. They're at Duck Lake in 59, so I don't know if it's there anymore. But yeah, they're the only one up here in this area for 24 hours.
All right, I just never noticed one. The ones that are right by me are not 24-hour, and it's not like I've paid attention. Hell, I don't get out much past 9, 10 o'clock at night. I'm an old person now. Up early and to bed early.
Fenton's 24-hour. Hers on Hill Road is 24 hours, but that's it. Everything else is like 1 o'clock, 10 o'clock, around these parts, sorry, I should say. But Fenton, because we've got an ER now, you know, we've got a level 4 ER there. So they're leaving that one open because they're the only, and it's the Silver Lake Road one, not the one on the north end of Fenton. There's actually two in Fenton. But just the one on Silver Lake Road, because of the hospital down there, or ED department, not hospital, excuse me, ED. And then because we've got three hospitals within 4 miles of that, her Walgreens. That's what they do. So yeah, 24 hours.
Well, there you go. On another note, so the Artemis mission, is tomorrow the day they're doing the big loop-to-loop?
Yep, tomorrow's the loop-de-loop. Supposed to wake, they're supposed to go to bed at 2 a.m. our time. They wake up at 10:40 a.m. our time, and then at 13:45, they'll pass the Apollo 13 distance record, and then they configure the crew. The cabin gets configured for flyby, and then supposedly 14:30 begins the flyby, and at 18:36, there's predicted loss of communications. and then they come, you know, and they go around the moon.
Kilo Echo 8, United Radio Victor. United Radio Victor, I think it was. Go ahead. W8FU. Yeah, I've been listening to them on this frequency all day today, and they've been up there talking about different things and doing different missions and stuff like that, configurations and whatnot. They've been at it all day.
Yep, that's the Artemis feed we got going here on the network.
Yep, I think, you know, what most people need to know is that you can talk over it. It's a one-way feed coming in, and you need to use a repeater. You can use a repeater. But it's fun to listen to, and the feed is quite good. The audio quality is quite good, so I've been enjoying listening to it when I tune in. I just wanted to let you guys know that they were at it all day long. So. Have a good one. Kilo Echo 8, United Radio Victor. Jim over here in Saginaw. Catch you later.
Integrity Houston after the LOS. How do you hear?
Roger, Houston. Fred.
I got you 5x5.
We have you the same.
I think,
execute,
I don't know, I couldn't see her talking.
Two,
it's keyed up here.
Decimal one, decimal
come on.
Zero,
come on.
Need
you can do it.
Pressure controls to
maintenance. This will perform a cabin O2 introduction.
You know, if I push a couple more buttons, we could just transmit to them, but, you know. We'll just leave it in monitor mode only.
Good words.
Well, it sounds like she's getting a little chatty.
So far,
I'm going to drop out here and give my YL a call. Yes, she did not go with me today. I was soloing it. I was with the in-laws and the grandkids and my son-in-law and daughter. I was my son. So my wife did not make it. Not feeling well. So I'm going to give her a call and let her know I'm on the road home and be back in here in a few. W8FU.
All right. I'm just sitting here working. I got finishing up the golf. I got two golf computers I'm finishing that I got to take with me because I'm going to be on the road tomorrow. So sitting here doing that, pushing patches out. W8FU.
Here for whatever you need.
I appreciate that for you being there with whatever I need.
Houston, Scott, are back.
We don't read it that way.
Let's perform step 3 of this procedure. Cabin leak suspected. Step 3. Good words. Confirm. Copy, that's a good config. Thank you, Reed. All right, Integrity crew, I'm now ready to pass you big picture words on what happened. Go for secondary line venting. Okay, so what happened shortly into the LOS is that when you went to RADHAB in the suit drying procedure, we went to a soup state with a lower cabin fan speed. This caused a little shift in the outlet pressure of the cabin fan where that pressure sensor is, and it registered a pressure change. So we got that warning, cabin leak suspected, in alarm. This moded the cabin pressure mode to idle, which meant that we stopped O2 introduction into the cabin. We needed to mode back to maintenance to regain O2 introduction back into the cabin. Copy. And I see what you see about the procedure. We just wanted to make sure we called you into that. Step 3 was the important part there. Second of all, we had an unexpected return link LOS when we transitioned to DSN Madrid. We had good lock, but we weren't getting any data. When we got forward link, in our INCO center command for a string swap, which was successful, we are now on string 1 for S-band. Okay, and we are still looking at what happened with S-band string 2. We don't know yet, and that's all I have for you. Thanks, guys. Sounds great. Thank you, Reed.
Connected to CMN Network.
Integrity Houston, no action on the enabled prop cautions on the board. Integrity Houston, for the enabled caution, these prop cautions are because we are manually pressurizing that branch for upcoming OTC3. We're taking a closer look at them. No action for you. Go ahead, Reed, for Lunar View. And for your info, you came down on 2.
The moon is decidedly large out the window today. We can see all of Apollo, all of Oriental, Annular Ring. We can see, I'm 99% sure, Ohm, see Piraso very easily, and just getting over, can't quite pick up Vavilov yet, but that far side that is right on the limb is extremely mountainous. Trying to get some pictures, but it's a high grazing angle. But it's pretty awesome to just look out and see all of these sites, and it's bright, but very visible with the naked eye. Still primarily seeing whites, grays. Maybe I can convince myself on the far side there's some just hues of brown, very light, very, very faint. But it's a great view. It's beautiful. And on the near side, Aristarchus is by far the most prominent feature. It is really just glowing bright right now.
That's beautiful, Reed. Thanks for bringing us all up there with you.
And for the science team, Piraso and Aristarchus have the same albedo level right now. They're the same level of brightness. And then looking down, Copernicus is just a little bit dimmer, but it's close.
Science is loving it, as expected. Thanks, Reed. While I'm talking to you guys, I have a topic on burn monitor for Jeremy.
He'll call you back in about 5 minutes.
Sounds good. No rush.
Houston Integrity, one other observation. Looking at the Terminator, it's almost a full moon from this perspective, but we got the Terminator on the western edge of the moon, about 1 Oriental diameter from Oriental, and just with our plain eyes, you can really start to see topography. There is elevation on the moon, not just variation in color, and that already makes the moon look wildly different.
You have a lot of people looking forward to tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Houston Integrity for Photo TV.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Go ahead.
Just an observation with the D5. Through the optical viewfinder at 400 mils, the moon is crisp, absolutely clear, even with a high grazing angle through the windows. But when we are taking pictures, what we then see in the viewfinder is a bit blurrier than what we can see through the viewfinder. I just find that odd. I would have thought the viewfinder and the sensor would pick up the same data, but you can pass that along to those folks.
All right, we got it. Thanks for the call down.
Houston Integrity, we're ready for those burn monitor words.
Hey, Jeremy. Good afternoon. The first thing is that step 10 is complete. The plus X flange heaters are on and prop avionics are configured. And then also, assuming that RHC is not currently deployed, that setup was back on step 7. If you want to refer to that, the bingo for that is TIG minus 45.
Okay. RHC is deployed, and we copy the prop. Step is complete. Appreciate it.
You are welcome. And just a couple of other general awareness things. We are working on updates for the day, and we will be getting that up to you shortly. We also have the lunar targeting package verification steps in message 3.05.05. That should take about 5 minutes to run on each of the PCDs, but we do need to wedge that in somewhere today so that if it doesn't work, we have a little bit of time to troubleshoot before tomorrow.
Okay, I can work on that, actually. So I see it here. It's on this PCD, 3.05.05.
Yeah, that's great, Jeremy. And we'd like to get confirmation run through that procedure and get confirmation that all of the remaining working PCDs are functioning with this.
That would put us at ease as well. So we'll let you know on that shortly. For the burn pad, we noticed that the delta V had changed quite a bit. So when did you want to get with us on the burn pad?
We're just planning to do that at the final burn conference, Jeremy.
That's fine. Just confirm the latest version that we're going to be referencing in that burn conference is UTC of ground generation 95. 1400 hours.
Yes, Jeremy, that's correct. And just for context, the manual piloting is what changed that a little bit, the total delta V.
Well, we'll take that as a compliment.
I wouldn't have meant it any other way.
Houston Integrity, we're just setting up some charging for tomorrow. The alternate PCD charging cable, do you guys have the bandwidth to look that location up for us?
We do. Stand by. Looking for it now. Integrity Houston for the alt PCD power cable.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Jeremy, you can find that in E-Locker, bag number 10 with a brown label, and the Ziploc bag is called 15-volt PCD power cable.
Okay, copy that. Thank you, Mark.
If you bet.
Mark. Question about an activity depressed acoustic monitoring on my timeline at 02 today. I believe since we had aborted the acoustic monitoring the 24-hour yesterday, I didn't see an activity to start this acoustic monitoring.
Hey, Christina. That's going to be a no-perform today. I am on the verge of giving you some other timeline deltas here.
Copy. Both. Thank you.
Integrity Houston with some timeline deltas.
Okay, go ahead. Your timeline deltas work.
Okay. Well, first of all, this just in, the SM prop helium ISO valves are configured, which is in step 12. And then for the timeline deltas, things that we must OT verification we just talked about a few minutes ago, OTC3 burn ops, the toilet maintenance, the post-OxSuit DFTO cabin inspect, AGA readings, and the PMC. I'll copy on that.
Okay, we copy all that. A couple notes from us. Two out of three of the PCDs for LTP are complete and they're correct. I'll work on the third one next. We've talked as a crew and we would like to defer today's PMC. We just don't need it.
Okay, copy that. All right, then a list of suggestions that can be deferred if you would like to.
Sorry, say again, Mike.
Yeah, let me say it more elegantly than I was about to. Everything else can be deferred as you guys desire.
Okay, appreciate it. That's great.
And Jeremy, sorry, one way to add to the must be performed. We also need to repower that docking cam today. And then as bandwidth permits, we would love...
Okay, understood. That makes sense.
All right, cool. As bandwidth permits, we would also like to understand your cabin config too, but as bandwidth permits.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, we can set up a little tour for it. I think you're going to be really impressed. I mean, we've done a great job here. Looks good up here. It is better than before.
Awesome. Integrity Houston, about 3 minutes away from the Starfield maneuvers.
Okay, we copy that, Mark. And I've got something for you on lunar targeting package when you're ready.
We're ready.
So PCDs 1 and 2, everything worked perfectly. PCD 3, lunar targeting package. When I double-click on it, it tries to open, goes to the web page, and then the little in-process circle just keeps going and going. I waited quite a while, and it never opened. So then I started the troubleshooting where I created the shortcut and renamed it on the desktop, but I get the same signature when I try to open it, and it's just chewing away with a little satellite going around the moon.
Okay, Jeremy, copy. We're chewing on that. We'll get back to you with more words.
Okay, thanks.
Integrity Houston, you ready for the burn conference, Jeremy? Rog.
Houston, Integrity is ready for the burn conference.
All right. As we discussed earlier, the UTC of ground generation was 95.14 even. And the first delta is delta V total, which is 10.4. Ego is 19 seconds. Attitude should be yaw pitch roll 312, 315, 75. Delta V X Y Z should be 4.7 minus 5.3 7.6. I'll copy so far.
Copy all.
Okay. No deltas in the burn execution steps. And then finally in the burn notes, one delta, which is that we have already manually pressurized the fuel tank to 290 PSIA, and pressurization will still be active during the burn config segment. Burn will be performed in blowdown.
Copy.
Any questions for us?
Mark, to be sure we understand your last, we understand you said it is pressurized now and that we will be a blowdown. Is that a good read?
Yes, that's a good read, Doc.
Okay, Mark, in your first statement, we thought we heard you say it would be pressurized during the burn, which doesn't match our understanding of blowdown. But maybe we either misheard, or you said like it would be pressurized now, but not during the burn.
We did pressurize it a couple of hours before TIG, and it will still be active.
Mark, we're scratching our heads a little bit on what you mean about it will still be active and pairing that up with being in blowdown. Our understanding of blowdown is that we would not have active pressurization, but we would use the existing pressurization.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I've made it more confusing than it had to be. That's a good understanding. The pressurization will still be active during burn config segment, and the burn will be performed in blowdown. Does that make more sense?
Thanks, Mark. That makes a lot more sense. So at some point during burn config segment through the start of the burn, the active pressurization will be turned off.
Yes, that'll happen when we transition at TIG minus 5 minutes.
Perfect. All understood on board. Thanks for going through that with us.
Of course. I also have some troubleshooting steps on that LTP that wasn't working properly on PCD3. when it's a good time for somebody.
Okay, you can go ahead and send that network.
Okay. You can pull up procedure 36.1.3, is Lunar Targeting Package User Guide. And you can execute step 6.1.2, which clears the cache, and then go back and try that message 3.05.05 again.
Okay, just give me the procedure. I got it. It was step 6.1.2, but say again the procedure number.
It's 36.1.3, Lunar Targeting Package User Guide.
Okay, I'll put that work.
All right, thank you. And Integrity Houston, confirm TLP and ORB guide converged. We're assessing the onboard solution.
Connected to CMN network.
Converge, and we are assessing versus the bird pad now. So far, so good.
Copy.
Houston Integrity confirming your go, no-go for this bird.
We are about to put that in work. Stand by. Integrity Houston, MCC has pulled go for the burn.
Integrity copies.
Houston Integrity for the LTP.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Okay, I cleared the cache as per the procedure. Then I tried to open the original LTP link, and I got the same signature as before. So I cleared the cache again, and then I opened the new LTP link that I created myself, and I get the same signature.
Okay, back to head scratching here. Integrity Houston, tank pressures are good for the burn.
Integrity.
Integrity Houston, our email sync is complete. All inboxes are unlocked. Integrity Houston, solar arrays are in position for the burn. Integrity Houston, maneuver to burn attitude starting in about 3 minutes. Integrity Houston, we're in burn attitude.
We see the same.
You're connected to CMN network.
Integrity Houston, good burn. We are assessing the details.
It is, and we see the same. Thanks, Mark. Houston Integrity, pending your analysis, we would like to ask you to take over on step 23. We'll handle the RHC and get on with some other activities on our timeline.
All right. You got it.
Thank you. finally do a burn.
I know. A nice, beautiful little burn, too. Hey, be advised, we are maneuvering for opportunistic science, and you would need to configure your D5 and Z9 cameras for that, like yesterday.
We are tracking and looking forward to it very much. We had a gorgeous view of a very big moon right out of window 2 during that burn. Well, right before the burn, before we maneuvered. It was awesome.
And looks like we'll be back at window 2 for this as well. And also, I have another little troubleshooting step for that.
Thanks for that heads up.
Yeah, you're welcome. Another troubleshooting step for that lunar targeting package when someone has a chance to copy.
Okay. Send me the troubleshooting steps there, Mark.
So, Jeremy, back to that same step, 6.1.2, do you still have that procedure that was in?
I do. Just clearing the cache, and I understand it now.
Yeah. This time we're going to, on media 14, which is the one at the bottom of that step, we are going to change that time range to for all time. And in addition to the cached images and files that you see already checked in that procedure, we're going to check cookies and other data. And then clear it, and then back to message 30505 and try again.
Okay. Copy that. Just so you know, I did all time previously, but I didn't do the cookies and other data, so that's new. So I'll try that. Well, I just did it, and I'll see what happens. And then which LTP do you want me to try to open first? The one that was already there originally, or do you want the one that I created the new shortcut for on the desktop?
Checking. Let me try the original shortcut first.
Good work. Hooray! That fixed it.
All right.
Okay, Mark, and I did the other two steps too, checking the two OneNote actions, and they're both good on this PCB now, so we're all set.
That is awesome. Thanks, Jeremy.
Houston Integrity for enabled flush caution.
Yeah, go ahead.
You just got an enable caution dump required.
All right. We see that as well, and we are about to put a wastewater dump in place and get that going shortly.
Okay, sounds good. And do you have the bandwidth for an HTTP quick cabin view of the Equals wall for the post DFTO cleanup?
We are checking, and just to make sure we're on the same page, so after this use, stand down from toilet ops until we get that dump done, I'll let you know.
Understood.
Yes, you can take the HHP cam.
Hey, Mark, just to be 100% certain, secondary dumps are still okay, correct?
Yes, secondary dumps are still okay. Integrity Houston for toilet maintenance.
Go ahead.
Yeah, some good news. Since we've had pretty low usage on the toilet, the oxone changeout is not required, so those steps can be skipped in that today.
Mark, we appreciate it, but that is already done.
Okay. Copy. We'll schedule accordingly. Integrity Houston, we show ourselves an attitude for the opportunistic science, and we'll be there for about the next 15 minutes.
Connected to CMN Network.
Houston, Integrity, confirm you got a good HTTP stream.
We are working it now. So not yet. Okay, Reed, finally that cleared up and now we have a good image inside the cabin.
Okay, we have too many views out the windows right now. We got the moon out 1 through 4 and then Jeremy just spotted Earth out the side hatch window, so we're going to work on all that, but I just wanted to give you a quick once over. Nobody ever sees the cabin from this side except for us. So I got the camera over on the side hatch side. You can see the Equus wall there.
Yeah, that's good, Reed. We're seeing that real well.
Mark, if there's anything of interest you guys are looking for, I'll highlight it. Right now, I'm highlighting a part of Jeremy that probably doesn't need to be highlighted.
Roger that. Could we ask for a slow pan of the port wall, the WAP and the food warmer area? Haven't really seen much of that yet. And this is just for curiosity. We're not concerned about anything.
Christina did take some cabin config photos. There's a PWD area.
We're not concerned.
There's the food warmer galley area. Maybe you can see the bungee jail there. I don't know if it's too dark or not.
Yeah, that's a good view. You see those IT cables just wishing they could grow like they did on Space Station.
I just spent about 45 minutes tucking all that stuff down and running power cables for the lunar flyby tomorrow, so it looks a lot better than it did 2 hours ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, Mark, with that, I'm going to stop the feed, and I'm going to go look at the moon for a minute.
All right, copy that. Thank you. We appreciate that extra time. And Integrity prop post-burn reconfig is complete.
Copy.
Houston Integrity for the opportunistic science. Images are complete. The view that we have now, the most striking things are the size of the moon and the detail that we can see with the naked eye. It is almost a full moon. Maybe about 10% on the western rim is in the terminator, and you can really see variations in terrain. There's clearly some large elevation changes on the western edge that's at the terminator area. The view that we have now at the center is Grimaldi. It's almost dead center. It's just slightly south of the center. And Oriental is not quite an orthogonal view, but we're able to really see into it, and you're starting to be able to differentiate the colors that are, the differences in the gray that are down in there. Like there's a dark gray V on the bottom, and then a light gray V on the top in the center of Oriental. And the lighter gray actually matches the rings that are out to the northeast, and the dark gray V in the bottom matches the
the part of the ring that's very easily visible in the southwest. Also, Grimaldi is the darkest that I can see so far. And then there's one spot that's just to the northwest of Grimaldi that is also very dark. But it really makes Procellarum and Oceanus look lighter. The grays there almost look like looking down on a forest where you can kind of see variations, splotches between light and dark gray. It doesn't look as consistently dark as it does from so far away. And the variation in all that mare, there's a lot of detail in the variation in the dark grays in that mare, and it really stands out now because Aristarchus is so bright in the center of all of that. But again, the biggest things that stand out to me are the size of the moon out the window to the naked eye and the terrain that I can see on the western rim due to the Terminator. I love the Terminator.
That's awesome, Victor. Really good description. It's easy to imagine what you're looking at. Thank you for that. Integrity Houston, heads up. 2-minute warning till we maneuver back.
And Houston Integrity, not asking you to break any analysis, but if you could give us 3 more minutes in this attitude, we would take it. We're just trying to wrap up some images, so we understand if you can't. And disregard, we see we're in the maneuver, never mind.
Yeah, sorry about that. Could we make it up to you by getting you a little closer for tomorrow? Hey, while I have you, the darkness report of Grimaldi was unexpected and was something that has got the scientists excited to hear, so thank you for that one, especially.
You are welcome.
Mark, I think one of the most interesting things right now is the four of us have looked at this moon our entire lives, and the way we are responding to what we are seeing out the window is, it's just like we're a bunch of little kids up here. Just, we cannot get enough of this. It's amazing. Thank you for the privilege.
Thank you for sharing that special perspective you have with all of us back here.
You're connected to CMN Network.